listening to CJSF 90.1, where the British Columbia, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples.
And welcome to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And my name is Sebastian. So those are regular listeners. You may remember a couple months ago, I had my right eye operated on. Last Monday, we were away because I had my eye cut open and you were just generally sick from, what was it, flu? Lurgy?
I think it was allergies. I think it was all the tree pollen up my nose.
Yeah.
I wasn't snorting tree pollen. Mm-hmm. But I live right next to a forest, and those trees were getting it on in my nose.
Yes.
I did not consent. So the big story that we are going to be, well, first of all, there is so much has happened.
Mm-hmm.
All of the gay news that we need to catch up on. Now, first of all, I heard...
Yes.
Through my sources.
Ooh.
That there is a very large pride organization mm-hmm. in North America.
Okay.
Closer than you may. I'm not going to tell you who.
Okay.
Because I don't want to face legal action. But there was a very, 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 very large, rather close pride organization in North America. Maybe even in Canada, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And they made a decision. So they have a community fair,
mm-hmm.
and they invite all of the local queer organizations and, you know, all of the banks to come and table and present at this fair. But this particular pride organization, who I will not speak the name of, has decided... that for all those little sports leagues or small grassroots nonprofits or what have you, they are not allowed to fundraise during the community fair.
Okay.
The only people permitted to raise funds is the Pride Festival itself. Nobody else.
This is very mixed because on the one hand, there are a lot of organizations that sort of by nefarious means will piggyback on Pride festivals. They'll show up, they'll say, hey, look, we care about LGBTQ stuff. Donate to us because we scrub stickers off of turtle shells or whatever it is that they do. And, you know, that's well and good enough, but does it really need to be there? But on the other hand, you also have small local organizations like... you know, shelters for the homeless, maybe, or help centers for people with distress issues of some kind or another. And that is one of their primary venues for fundraising. So it feels mixed. I do feel like there are some organizations that should maybe not be piggybacking on Pride too much or be a little bit more humble about it. Like maybe advertise that you're going to have a gala and tickets will be available soon, but don't sell your tickets at Pride. But then on the other hand, you do have other organizations where like that is their bread and butter is Pride. It's
the one big major in-person event.
Mm-hmm.
Now these organizations, let's say you are a small softball league for lesbians. You are a lesbian softball league. Well, actually, that would not be a small league, let's be honest.
Yes.
And sure. They have their one recruitment effort each year is mm-hmm. the Pride, because that's when you're going to get the largest concentration of queer folks of any time of year mm-hmm. ever is going to be at Pride. It is literally gay Christmas.
Yes.
And if you are fundraising to go to your little tournament in New Brunswick, mm-hmm. I'm making all of this up, to be told the largest singular event that you go to where you mm-hmm. meet the most people, you cannot raise any money. It really begs the question of whether or not that corporatization of Pride
mm-hmm.
is worth it
yeah.
for grassroots and small and queer organizations. And yes. I think that really, we're kind of branching into the larger issue here.
This is an annual discussion that we have, though.
About the corporatization. But this is the most, yep. I think, we've talked, let me take a step back. We've talked about pride parades, such as Toronto Pride.
Yes.
Where they have, you know, a large number of corporate-sponsored floats,
yep.
corporate-sponsored this, that, and the everything. You know, everything is brought to you by TD Bank.
Yeah.
You know, you can't walk 3 feet without seeing some kind of corporate logo in front of you. You know, and that's.
And the parade is 3 hours long, and about an hour of that is something that your average person off the street would say that would make sense for them to be in the parade. And the yeah. rest is like, you know, not to besmirch Home Hardware, but like I have seen Home Hardware floats, and I'm like, I don't understand. Thank you for participating. But yeah, and this is an ongoing conversation, a small degree. And this is something that I would say, you know, in their defense, a small degree of corporatization, especially if you're looking at Vancouver, Montreal and Toronto, is kind of necessary. Because if you're going to block off the streets of Vancouver, Toronto or Montreal and get several million people down there in a parade that's a few hours long and pay for security and pay for the permits and pay for, you know, blocking off the street and pay for this and pay for that, you do need infrastructure. You need a small degree, well, not even a small actually, but you do need a degree of a kind of corporateness. There comes a point where you cross that line, and now they're basically kind of almost enforcing like a monopoly on fundraising.
There is this concept of mission drift for nonprofit.
Oh yeah.
And you know, everyone listening has probably heard of the military industrial complex.
Oh yes.
The prison industrial complex. Mm-hmm. But less people have heard of the charity industrial complex.
Okay.
Same idea. It's really big charities that we're talking like the Cancer Society. We're mm-hmm. talking about the Red Cross. You know, massive charities that operate with a fleet of staff. When mm-hmm. you get that big, you need enough momentum to move the machinery of the institution itself. Mm-hmm. And my concern here, which I would encourage prides such as Pride Toronto to keep an eye out on, is how far have they meandered or drifted away from that core mission?
Yes.
Supporting the queer community.
Mm-hmm.
To raising funds to feed the machine of Pride Inc.
Yes.
And that, I think, is really what this exemplifies. By if they were to prevent local nonprofits and grassroots from mm-hmm. fundraising during Pride, is that really truly supporting the community? I get it. They, Pride Toronto, should mm-hmm. they? Yeah, I think that maybe some large prides are moving more towards Pride Inc.
Mm-hmm.
as opposed to that community building queer celebration of joy, that anger and pushback and riot and marching, you know, the things that Pride has been.
It's mission drift off that core mission that Pride festivals had historically, which a lot of cultural festivals have. Even like if you have a local Italo fest or Greek fest or something, quite often the festival itself is merely a facilitator for the community. So for most prides historically, the pride organization itself really just does a very short list of things. They organize the parade, they organize the community fair. A lot of them will organize a gala or a festival of some kind, and then they'll publish a pink pages of events of Pride Week. And those kind of fit the basic functions that a lot of Pride festivals have. So the parade is your politics, the festival is your community building, the gala is your party, quite frankly. And if it's not a fun party, it's not a good gala. Normally, I would say a gala should probably be a bit more, but in this case, no, its primary function is to be a fun party. And then the Pink Pages is just sort of to empower the community to do its own thing. So I remember
it's
in the
directory,
past,
yeah,
people would complain, why are there so many bear events at Pride? You know, why do Pride festivals care so much about bear events? They don't. The bears are just very well organized and they get their information in on time. You know, mm-hmm. if you want a million non-binary football events, then get all your non-binary friends together, do some football events and submit your paperwork on time. It's really that easy. And it really, the Pride Festival is really just there to sort of facilitate all the other little communities within the community to organize their events, to organize their parties, to organize their, even if they have like a weekly meeting, just put it in the Pink Pages. And if you drift off from that, especially from making the community fair open and facilitating community groups to advertise themselves, I think you're really just cutting yourself down to the parade, which is kind of an optics thing. If you're not running it right, it's just an optics engine, and the gala, which is just a fundraiser, and you really are looking at something corporate.
Do you know what it reminds me of?
Okay.
It reminded me of Canada Day.
Now, which one?
Any of them.
Okay. For those who don't live in Ottawa, by the way, Canada Day in Ottawa is a nightmare.
It's abhorrent.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've lived in Ottawa. We have been close to Ottawa and we have gone, we've had house celebrations. Mm-hmm. People have come hang out. There's a barbecue. It's a vibe. Everyone's, mm-hmm. you know, it's a lovely time. We've also gone into the maelstrom of human bodies that mm-hmm. is the Parliament mash of people. I have stood on the lawn of Parliament on Canada Day doing the cheering.
And watching the bare naked ladies.
Watching the bare naked. And the point I'm trying to make here is one version of Canada Day is how you and your family and your community celebrate Canada Day. And the other version is almost like a caricature, like a version for the tourists.
Yeah.
Like it is.
No, I get that.
And I worry that Pride might be heading in that direction. Because if you're squeezing these little organizations and not giving them the means to make use of that time and space, they will decentralize. And what I mean by that is they will do their own little events mm-hmm. and not go to where you are.
Yes.
The only people that will end up in the major Pride's community fairs are going to be the people who are, frankly, virtue signaling. So we're talking large corporations where this is a part of their demonstration of their values, which in itself mm-hmm. is a great practice. I mm-hmm. think that's a great thing to see. You can help make buying decisions and purchasing decisions by being informed by that. So I believe in the value of that.
Yeah.
However, if that's the only thing happening in the space and it's not complemented by the local queer organizations and that authentic community mm-hmm. building piece, and it's just businesses representing values and not the community, it becomes this sort of facsimile of what is Pride. I don't know. I'm really worried about how this might go. If you are around a major, major urban Pride festival, I recommend going to the smaller ones.
Yeah.
So, you know, all of the little side towns in the GTA, they all have an Oakville has a Pride, Guelph has a Pride, Hamilton has a Pride, you know, and the scale is significantly more manageable.
Yeah.
It is far more connected and integrated with the people of those communities, and you get a much better sense. It's more like your backyard barbecue for Canada Day than it is Parliament Hill. You know what I mean? And
It depends on the year. They come and go. They have troubles with funding. Some of them are not recognized as legitimate. But you do get a lot of these sort of alt-prides popping up. Like you get, like the Dyke March is sort of an alt to the main pride. You've also had Pride Weeks just for lesbians. You've had in Montreal, a lot of the gay bars down there are gay bars, like gay male bars. They're not LGBTQ bars. So the gay bar district of Montreal kind of has its own little mini pocket of events. Toronto, you had like there's the Queer West Village. They had their own little thing going on. The beaches had its own thing. Vancouver has had little alt prides, but not every year. So keep an eye on that as well, because they come and go. They struggle. Some of them are not legitimate for reasons that I think most people would agree are not legitimate. And there's sometimes they're not treated as legitimate for reasons that are kind of unfair. So, I mean, keep an eye open for them. You never know what'll pop up, you know?
I mean, I know I've said it before, but you know what one of the most interesting Pride events I ever went to was? I know I've mentioned this
to
you.
Oh, yes. It was Animators, I believe.
Well, that was one of them, but my easier answer is actually learn how to make your own sauerkraut.
Yeah, you were obsessed with the sauerkraut for a short while.
I'm so sorry,
Sebastian. We can't hear your sauerkraut story because I'm being told, yep, no, I'm just being paged. Right now, we're playing Mint Simon with Bad. Sorry, Bad by Mint Simon, and we'll be back just after this. We may get to the sauerkraut story, but probably not. This is Mint Simon with Bad, and we'll be back just after this.
No. Well, what are you going to do about that?
Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And that was a great story about the sauerkraut. It is a shame no one else will hear it. Now, Sebastian, I disagree with queer activists and queer organizations, people I have a lot of respect for, in Ottawa. Can you guess why?
Oh, what are they saying now? Are they saying something like coffee is homophobic?
No, they don't. Though probably, but no, it's not specifically coffee. It relates to, do you have a permit?
Oh no. Okay. I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm gonna have to take a Tums while you tell me what's going on.
Okay, so we have spoken for years. We've talked about how at many Pride events, in particular, Pride parades have been frequently besieged by fundamentalist evangelists who feel the earth-shattering desire to have to yell at people marching in pride, often aided with sound-amplifying devices.
Okay.
Now, unfortunately for them and to our great bemusement, they very frequently don't have permits for these sound amplifying devices.
Okay.
We saw sound amplifying devices used during the trucker protest in the trucker occupation in Ottawa, which disturbed many people that lived in the area. And yeah, it's been used over and over again. Now, it seems like the SHU, as it were, by SHU here, I mean sound amplifying device, is on the other foot.
Okay.
And protesters who are protesting specifically, I think it really kind of flared up around the protesters against the Israeli, well, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict at the moment and the actions of Israel in particular. They were protesting against that. Amongst many other things, there's been protests against the anti-trans legislation in various provinces. But during these protests, some on the left have been using sound amplified devices, megaphones, the such.
Yes.
And they've been slapped with bylaw infractions for using a megaphone.
Okay.
And are now claiming that it is pretty much an assault on free speech, the expression of free speech, all of the various things about it.
Even though they're the ones who pushed for these restrictions in the first place.
Well, let's be honest here. I think the restrictions around the use of megaphones and sound amplifying device things, I imagine that's just good common sense, because no matter what the issue is, no matter what side you're on, someone wants a megaphone. You know what I mean? Like, it could be the abortion debate. We see that flare up in Ottawa all of the time. It could be, you know, that we often see protests against Turkey marching through town. It could be anything. There's loads of conflicts. Mm-hmm. And people frequently feel the desire to use a megaphone. When we're looking at it as queer folks, we have spoken so frequently on the show with these devices used in Vancouver. They were used in Toronto. They were used in Ottawa. And on each of these occasions, we're like, you're allowed to stand on a street corner and yell your profanities.
Yeah.
You know, that is your free speech. But you don't get to use sound amplified devices because the other people around you don't have that same. And if everyone had it, the whole world would go blind, specifically in this case, hard of hearing. But you get what I mean. Like, it's a no. So the Ottawa community have really been rallying behind the use of megaphones in protests. And I'm not convinced that that is the best approach to move forward.
Yeah, because if you try to push that nobody gets to do something except for you and yours, that is not entirely, but that is part of the core definition of what an aristocracy is, where just certain rules simply do not apply to you because of your group. And that's just, that's very illiberal. I don't know, like, if you don't want other people to use sound amplifying devices, then neither should you. It's fair's fair. You know, the everyone's equal under the law. That's the whole point. It sucks for you when it applies. It sucks for you when it's your turn, but it's, you know, fair's fair. You know, if everyone gets to do it or nobody gets to do it. And yeah, and not only that, but they also have what are called, have you ever heard the term the living megaphone?
No.
That is what happens. Historically, especially, it started with the Occupy movement, and then the BLM movement really picked it up, where you have one person who says something and then the whole crowd will repeat them.
Oh, like a call and response?
Yes. It's also been known as, it depends on what, I've heard it referred to as the human megaphone, definitely at the Occupy movement. I don't know if it's still called that at BLM, but you can get a very loud noise when you get a couple hundred people repeating every word you say. So you can,
and that would be fine.
It's legal.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, we can't have a pick and choose. So I should be allowed a megaphone because my opinions are what matters, but you can't have a megaphone because your opinions I don't agree with.
Yeah.
You know, it's outrageous. I just think no one should have a megaphone. Do you just shush?
And it's important to hold our own accountable.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of holding accountable, there was a pretty shocking move coming out of Alberta. I'm going to read the following press released, and I'm going to quote it here, quote, for immediate release, after careful consideration, in consultation with our communities, we, the undersigned organizations and associations, have taken the significant step to not allow the participation of the United Conservative Party, UCP, in our 2024 Pride celebrations. This is a direct response to Premier Danielle Smith's stated intention to infringe on the rights, freedoms, and health care of the trans community, transgender community in Alberta. Her policies, which do not reflect the desires of the gender and sexually diverse community, contradict established medical practices governing transgender healthcare and represent a clear threat to the safety and well-being of our community. Given that no UCP member of Legislative Assembly have expressed their disagreement with those proposed policies, we must extend our decision to the entire UCP caucus. You may not join our celebrations in June when you plan to attack us in September. Queer rights should not be a political decision. Trans rights are human rights. We invite Premier Smith to reconsider her harmful and damaging policies and engage in meaningful discussions with the Two-Spirit, trans, non-binary, and queer community. Signed, Calgary Pride, Canmore Pride, Central Alberta Pride Society, Lacombe Pride, Foothills Rainbow Connect, Pride Corner Edmonton, Banff Pride, Red Deer Pride, Fort Sask Pride, Queer Alberta Safety Net, Lethbridge Pride, Jasper Pride, Holmes, and Okotoks Pride. The entire province has effectively banned the Conservative Party from attending any of their Pride celebrations. And that line, you may not join our celebrations in June when you plan to attack us in September, really, that's the point. That's the whole thing there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's... Now, Sebastian,
yes,
this is a pretty... This level of condemnation, organized, coordinated condemnation by mm-hmm. Pride organizations in a long time.
In the mid-2000s, there was going to be an equal ban across Canada for the all levels of the Conservative Party. Party, and it was because they were going to reopen the debate about
the marriage debate, wasn't it?
The same-sex marriage, exactly. Yeah, but then there was an internal caucus within the Conservative Party of LGBT conservatives who basically said, no, this is a done deal. Knock it off. We're not going to do this. And then at the last minute, it went through. They were not really banned. I think there was like probably two conservatives who marched across the country, not coast to coast, but like over coast to coast, there was a total of maybe two or three conservatives who actually did march. It was not considered a bipartisan done deal at that point in time. Most conservatives in Canada are they don't care anymore. It's kind of over.
There are definitely social conservatives that disagree.
Oh yeah. Now,
it's worth mentioning that queer folks, the LGBT community, have not a huge amount of power, but they do have the authority to decide who gets to come and celebrate in their celebrations with them.
Yeah, it's
who is invited to your party.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't have to invite the people who are turning their existence into a political football to come and attend their party. Like, that's just not... Well, no matter where you sit on it, if you are using someone's identity as a political point, I can't expect to be invited to that person's house party. You know what I mean? Like, it just... Now, other places,
you know my feeling on this, though, right?
Yeah. Well, you think no one should be... You think no corporations, no political parties.
Yeah.
Like, that's
it. Yeah. It is not 2002. I don't care that IKEA accepts the gays, all right? It is current year. Nobody cares about your piddling corporation and what you think. Like, it's free advertising. You pay a fee. You get cheap advertising. You get to do your virtue signaling, and then you go home. And as far as I'm concerned, if you are not a community group, a volunteer organization, a not-for-profit organization, if you're not some local organization that is by and from or for or mostly LGBT, I don't care. I really don't care. The conservatives are banned. Fine. I don't care. The NDP is banned. I wouldn't care then either. Like, I'm just like, I don't care. You know, they're not a local pride group. Like,
I'm going to push back on you a bit here, Sebastian, because, and I mentioned it earlier in the episode, we are currently talking about the move by almost all, if not all, of the pride organizations in Alberta banning the participation.